gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. And this is episode 104, but we are on week number 8. Ron, how are you feeling? Your team is just winning.
On fire.
What's the record now?
5-2.
5-2.
30 plus points in the last 2 weeks.
When was the last time the Steelers scored 30? Remember?
I think it may have happened once last season. When Mason Rudolph came in or something like that. But it doesn't happen often. We, you know, this offense have had issues, but you see what I'm wearing, right? The Najee jersey.
What does that mean?
One, they need to sign him.
Give him an extension. Have an extension yet?
No.
Isn't he the captain?
I don't know if he's captain. I think he was initially, and last year they removed that title from him. I think Tom was getting pissed with some of his press conference answers because he was tired of answering the same questions over and over again. But dude has never missed a game ever since he's been drafted. 1,000-yard rusher. Ever since he's been drafted, you know, just a model citizen, total, you know, Steeler type of running back, physical, tough, hard runner, guy that could close out, you know, games and stuff. He's the epitome of Steeler football. So didn't like the fact that they didn't pick up his, rookie contract.
So this is fifth year?
This would be his fourth year,
Yeah, because he got drafted with Mac Jones, right?
So, listen, I'm just happy for him. 2 games in a row, over 100 yards. People keep saying he's not a franchise running back, not a top 10 running back. And I'm like, you don't know football. You know, people are just so stuck in, like, fantasy football. Make-believe land, I think they just forgot what football is really about. Availability is the most important thing.
Availability.
Dude's always there, always runs hard, can get you through any game, doesn't matter what the weather is. I'll take him. Guys like him, guys like Montgomery, guys like Mixon, those are the backs I would take over anybody.
Over someone going to Germany?
Yeah.
So, what's in store? Do we have the NFL news? We have the Week 7 recap. We have our predictions for the Week 8. Our team's predictions. We have the power rankings. And then we're actually going to do a QB list of people who you want to start a team with. And then we did our top 10 list, and then we're going to have honorable mentions. But first, let's get to the news, Ron, and we have a lot of injuries. But before we get to the injuries, let's talk about Alvin Kamara getting an extension with the Saints. Is this a good idea, a bad idea? Because the Saints are not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, and this is another reason I wore the jersey, right? Because I see all these running backs getting extensions, and I'm like, you know, the running back market's not supposed to be hot, but guys are still getting paid. And certain situations, I'm like, question it, right? And not that Alvin Kamara is a bad running back. I think he's a good running back. But he's 29 years old. Najee's 26. The Saints are, 2-5 right now? And I don't know what their future holds, like next season and the season after that. Are they sticking with Carr as their quarterback? Are they in rebuild mode? Or do they think they are a playoff team? I don't know. So contract didn't really make sense to me, but I don't own or manage the Saints. Yeah, I don't care less what they do.
And I can't believe that there was no offers on the table. Cause he's a playmaker, right? Yeah. And I don't know, like, does he must like the area? I don't know. There's a lot more from this extension, because Dennis Allen as your head coach, you're not going to... Carr as your QB, you're not going to go very... So last night, the Bucks played Baltimore, and then Evans got hurt. Godwin got hurt. So how will this affect the Bucks going forward? Because these are two weapons at it, right?
Yeah, it's tough. These are big injuries. Godwin's out for the season, right? So he's back to the grind of rehabbing and stuff, right? It's not his first major injury. And then for Evans, he's had hamstring issues like I think his entire career, to be honest with you. So it's not like he stays perfectly healthy all the time. He's always had hamstring problems. So I assume he'll be out a few weeks, but then he'll, you know, eventually bounce back. But I do think it, you know, losing Godwin, I think they're used to that, but I think it's they're going to take a step back a little bit. But that whole division turning out to be like what it was last year, right? Just like a mess.
Just the, I would say that the only good offense is Tampa Bay offense, and then nobody's playing defense that division. Nobody. The other injury news, Ayuk out for the year. Is this a year from hell for San Francisco?
Yeah, you would think so, right? Like, lots of injuries this year, both sides of the ball, but it seems like they're getting some positive stuff. It seems like McCaffrey might be back in a couple weeks. I don't know how much, you know, they're going to miss AU. I just gave him a huge contract or whatever. but to be honest with you, I think in that system, they got sufficient weapons. They're a run first team, but there's enough receivers and Kittle at tight end for them to stay relevant and to compete with, you know, the other teams in the NFC.
I mean, we know that the Rams are a mess. Arizona, I know they won last night, but I don't think they can keep up with the 49ers. So it really comes down to the Seattle and San Francisco to win that division. So I'm not too concerned about San Francisco. Let's go into the recap for week number 7, and let's start by saying that I'm up. I am up by 1 point, but I'm up 63-62. I told you, Ron, watch out, I'm coming. I don't know if you didn't take it serious or not, but
yeah, you almost swept, right? I think you won like 12 out of what, 14 games or whatever.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back. And Ron, when I move forward, I don't look back. So you better watch out. Better watch out.
Okay.
And I think by week 7, we know the good and the bad teams. I think the first couple of weeks we were like guessing. We're like, well, you know, if they fix this, if they fix that. But I feel like we know, unless it's an injury, we know this team is good, this team is bad. But let's talk about the upset specials. You picked the Baltimore to lose to Tampa Bay. It was not meant to be. You just talk about the injuries. And I picked the New York Giants to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Before we talk about Tampa Bay, it's the New York Giants. Are they done? Are they cooked? Like, put a stick of fork in them?
Yeah, I mean, what?
It was at home.
What were you thinking, though? Like,
I was just thinking, like, maybe the defense can, like, make some turnovers, but then, and the defense played pretty good. There was a lot of sacks. There was a lot of Jalen Hurts going down, but that offense, it's just not producing. Not producing, especially at home.
Mm-hmm. Now you got stories out there about, you know, benching the quarterback and stuff like that. And of course, I think the coach came out today and said, no, they're sticking with Daniel Jones or whatever. But, you know, the team is who we thought they were, I think, right? 2-5. What do we predict? Like maybe 5 wins, 6 wins?
Yeah, I think we went. I don't know. But as God is my witness, just like I wrote off the Browns, I'm going to write off the Giants. And actually, before we move on to our own teams, let's just write teams off, right? Let me just look at the standings and just say, let's write teams off because some teams just can't make it. Let's start with my team. Patriots are 1-6. We didn't think they were going to make it anyways.
Yeah.
So it's not a shocker, but they're written off. Should we write off the Jets?
No, I'm not writing them off just yet.
You're not writing them off? No. What about the Dolphins?
Yeah, I'm writing them off. I know it's still early, too. I think he's playing this week.
Is he?
I'm not going to write them off either.
You're not going to write them off?
No.
All right. The Browns, 1-6.
Yes, writing them off.
They already had a wholesale last week.
I wrote them off before the season started, though, so that's not saying.
It's not surprising. They fell under the Patriots. I don't know why people were like, Watson this, Watson that. No. Cincinnati?
Definitely not.
Yeah, you're not writing them off. 3 wins is pretty all right. Let's stick to 2-1. The Jaguars.
Man. Yeah, I'm writing them off. Here's the reason. They just won, right? But they beat up on the Patriots, so it's not saying much. They only got 2 wins all season. So sometimes winning can help, get you in the right direction. But I don't see that specific win against the Patriots being the catalyst for change. No, so I'm writing them off.
Yeah, I agree. The Titans.
Yes,
absolutely. The Vegas Raiders.
Writing them off.
You don't think Antonio Pierce can make it?
With who's playing? I don't even know.
Who's your QB?
Yeah.
Who's O'Connell, Minshew. You don't have a receiver. I mean, you have a pretty good tight end.
Yeah.
I was looking up passing stats and receiving stats. He's in the top 10.
Yeah.
For a tight end top 10.
I told you. Like, before he was drafted, he was the top 3 tight end in the NFL before he was even drafted. That's how good he was.
Let's jump into the NFC. We already talked about the Giants. We're going to leave the North alone because I think that all those teams have a chance to make it. Let's talk about the NFC South. The Panthers, we know.
Yeah, write them off.
Saints?
Write them off.
Write them off. They just not going to do it.
Although that division, you just never know, right?
I mean, do you think, listen quickly, the Saints against the Bucks, who do you think?
Keeping the injuries in mind?
Yes.
I still think the Bucks.
And obviously the Falcons, I think, could be Saints. So I'm like 75% writing them off, Saints. The Rams.
No, I'm not writing them off. As long as you have, I didn't know they got like, you know, a lot of injuries too, but as long as you have Stafford, Williams.
And now, didn't you send me that Cup might be available?
Listen, I don't believe.
Or is that like a rumor?
Rumor mill. Like, until these next 2 weeks are done and we get to the trade in line, literally every single person will be, you know, a trade rumor for every team that's like, under 500, so I'm not believing that. Why would they trade Cooper Kupp?
I have no idea. I don't even know.
There's a thing is out like, of it.
These rumors start and people start printing it
fire.
And I'm like, can you not pay both receivers? I don't understand. Rams have a lot of them. Okay, so we are writing off the Pats, writing off the Browns, writing off the Jaguars and Titans, and riding off Vader. And then was how many teams that? That's 3, 5, 6 teams that are off. And see, NFC, we're riding off the Giants, and we're riding off Saints and Panthers. So Saints are still 75-25, and I'm riding the Rams off. You or me, nah, but I'm riding them off. I don't think they can recover. Not with the way the NFC North playing. It's just, it's not going to be enough spaces.
They can win division, though. Right?
You think they could beat the Hawks? See the Seattle?
Only 2 games behind them.
We see the division. They're 1-1 in the division, and Seattle is 0-1. So they haven't played divisions yet. Only one game. So, but the Cardinals are 2-0. So, is 10 wins win that division?
I think 9 wins might win that division.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's going to be like the NFC South last year, right? It was like, what was it, 8-9? Won the division? I can't even remember. It was so mediocre.
Yeah. So let's get to Pittsburgh versus the Jets. Ron, why did you pick the Jets as your prediction? What worried you? Or were you like trying to do this reverse jinx? Like, what was it?
No, there were some things that worried me, but I felt like confident that we could win. The first thing that worried me was rust from Russell Wilson. I knew he was getting a start. Wasn't sure what to expect. I thought there would be a little bit of rust. Wasn't concerned with the communication, leadership, all that stuff. That didn't bother me. But I thought he would, you know, just be a little bit rusty. And he was, to be honest with you. And then on the defensive side, we got some guys back. I think Highsmith made a huge difference in that game. But I thought Rodgers would be able to, like, move the ball a little bit more than he was. And, you know, Rodgers had decent numbers outside of those two interceptions. Breece Hall had the one big run, right? They did some good things, the Jets, talking about offensively, against us. But our defense just clamped down, and the turnovers is where the game was won. So those were huge. But yeah. I thought it was going to be a close game.
I mean, Pittsburgh had 149 yards rushing compared to New York, who had 54. So it was basically the defense dominated again.
Yeah, what I had 24-23 is my prediction. So it's not like I had, you know, the Jets blowing us out or anything like that.
No,
I thought
it was a close game. But you still decided that it was a loss. And I was like, this Jets team is not good. They're just not good.
And part of the reason I gave them a loss too, right? So going back to the beginning of the year before the season started, I said they would be 5-3, right? So, and I don't see them losing to the Giants. So if they didn't lose to the Jets, you know, then they'll most likely be sitting at 6-2 after this week is over. So I thought this would be their third loss, just being honest with you. And, you know, for a moment in the first half, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a loss.
The Jets are 1-3 away from MetLife. They're just not good on the road. And they're not even good at home. So I'm not. If there was one team future that I would take back, would be that Jets winning the AFC. It's because even though Buffalo has.
Would you put money on the Jets over Buffalo, though? Even getting in the year.
Because it was not a lot. That's number one. It was not a lot. And number two, I bought into the hype thinking that, oh, Buffalo, you know, they're not going to have a good defense, which they don't.
They don't.
But
they still have Josh Allen.
They still have Josh Allen. He hasn't thrown a pick all year.
Well, that part's surprising. Yeah.
And hey, this is their division. So I'm bowing down to Buffalo to winning the division. Will they make far in the playoffs? Well, that remains to be seen. Let's talk about the Jaguars versus the Pats, because they were up 10-0, right? Everything looked good, great. And then everything went to shit. I don't know whether it was the fact that the defense was terrible, whether it was the fact that Pop Douglas was sick at the last minute, he couldn't play. Osborne had to step in, even though he was inactive before the game, and then all of a sudden he was active. And then they interview the players and say, why did you play so poorly? And people were getting thrown under the bus left and right.
Like, oh, ooh, I didn't hear this part, so.
Kendrick Bourne was like, some people stayed up past the bedtime. People were playing video games. Some people stayed up past the curfew. I was like, are you guys professionals, or are you just little kids doing whatever you want? It's like, And then to top it all off, Gerard Mayo comes out and calls him soft.
Which, I don't have any issue with that.
I have an issue with that. I have an issue with that.
What's
because
the issue?
This is the same team that last year was number one, was not number one, but top 10 against the run. All of a sudden, the Jaguars are running 17 straight running plays?
Yeah, but who are you missing?
Who? Nobody.
Barmore, right? Barmore played last year, didn't he?
Yeah, but one person.
Yes.
One person?
Yes. Take Hayward off the Steelers. See what our run defense looks like.
No.
One person makes a huge difference.
I think not having Barmore, not having Jennings, which he's a run stopper. He's a big linebacker. Then you still have Gonzalez. You still have Duggar.
Gonzalez played well. I thought he played well.
You still have Jonathan Jones on the other side.
Jones played well.
You still have a good team.
So you're not happy with the defense?
Overall, they're just not performing.
Yeah.
So he could have just said, hey, my team is not performing. But calling, I mean, you're questioning people's manhood by calling soft. That's what you're doing. Basically, laying down the gun and say, you're not a man. You were not a man.
So what were the exact quote, though?
That is the exact quote.
You say these players are soft, or
he said,
we are playing soft.
This team is soft.
Okay, what's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that.
You're basically insulting a team coaching.
So Mike Tomlin doesn't insult Pittsburgh?
Does he call them soft?
I've heard him say plenty of times, this team is JV. We're playing JV football. This team's soft. It's the same thing.
No, it's not, Ron.
It's
no,
to call
it's
someone
not.
JV
no, it's
to
not.
Tell them, hey, yeah, you look good against
the second
string.
Because JV
like,
could be mental
string.
Mistakes, could be physical
I've
mistakes.
I've heard him literally tell players, yeah, I expect you to look good. You're playing preseason against scrubs.
That's still not soft. You can say whatever words you want. You could say, my team didn't perform, said they need better coaching. You could have said all those things, but calling them soft, it just blew up. It might blow up in his face. I don't know what's going to happen next week.
Guess what?
Against the Jets.
Here's the thing. If it hurts their feelings, does it mean that they're soft?
It's not about hurting their feelings. It's about hurting their people's manhood.
Yeah. So if it hurts your manhood being called soft, maybe you are soft.
Maybe it is. But
yes.
Are you going to play for somebody that calls you soft?
You think because he called them soft, that's going to change whether someone plays hard or not?
It remains to be seen.
No.
It remains to be seen.
No.
I'm just saying.
Players either want to play
I'm
hard or they don't.
You have a vocabulary that you can change soft for something else.
Yeah.
But again, this is what happens. First-year coach.
Exactly, right.
It's a first-year coach. You're going to make mistakes. But calling players soft, players that you resigned, you and your GM resigned, gave an extension to.
You got to light a fire. You got to tell them, you got to be honest with people, man. I manage people for a living, and I can tell, I don't call people soft.
Oh, you don't call them soft?
I do tell them when they aren't like, you know, they're not playing up to their, they're not working up to their standards, right?
See, you're saying it right. You say, hey, you're not working up to your potential. Hey,
yeah.
You're not performing. But you don't call football players soft. This is not racquetball. This is not tennis.
I would.
Well, that's why you work where you work and not there.
But listen, so going back to this game, I'll give you my perspective because I watched the whole game first time. I'm outside, right? I'm not a Patriots fan. I thought to start the game, when I was texting you, right? I thought they came out really hot with the right, like, strategy. Like, let Drake cook early, right? Not big deep throws, simple stuff. Just get the ball out of his hands, move around a little bit. I thought they looked really good that first, like, couple of drives. And then from there, though, things that they were missing started to reveal itself, right? So the running game, we talked about that last week. It's no different than the Steelers, right? You think the Steelers put up 30-something points every week when they don't have a running game? No. Look at their history. If they don't rush for, you know, a decent amount, they lose because they don't score points, right? So you have to have balance with these types of offenses. And right now, the Patriots are missing a good running back. And I don't understand, to begin with, this whole Stevenson thing and Gibson, and like, wasn't Stevenson benched like last week or something like that?
I mean, the week before, he was fumbling the ball too much and he got demoted. But
do you demote? Let me ask you something. If these guys were close, I would say demote him for fumbling. If you got Stevenson, to me, maybe like 15th, 16th, 17th running back, best running back in the league, to Gibson. What's Gibson, 40th, maybe? 45th? He's not that good. Like, you don't bench someone for fumbling.
Again, when there's Gerard that big Mayo, of a gap. First-year coach. This is week seven. Yeah. This is seven different offensive line.
Yeah, I get
people
that.
People off the street are dressing.
Steelers have had issues with the offensive line, too. Drake May only took 2 sacks. Yeah, he was running around. I thought he played well.
No, he did play well.
I thought he probably could have used his legs a little bit more.
No interceptions. He didn't turn the ball over. He played good. I think they have
a running game, period. You got to have a running game. That's what it comes down to.
They have something special with May, but now I can see why people are questioning, like, you surround May with not only talent, which there's none on the team.
Well, there's some talent.
But the coaching. Like,
so is it Mayo? Is it Van Pelt?
Like, yeah, that's it? Like, I don't know, because obviously the Jaguars had 8-9 people on the line and they still ran the ball. So isn't it time that maybe Drake May should just take over? But he was a good rookie and he ran the play that was called.
Yeah, that's not a rookie's fault or any quarterback's fault. To run the play that's called in, right?
The fact that he threw 37 times, a lot for a rookie.
Yeah. Well, what was the option? What was the second option?
There was no second
option. That's my point. You don't have a running game you could fall back to, so you're going to throw 37, 40, 50 times because you don't have a running game.
A lot of drops. Again, talent. And they drafted Polk, and he still dropped the ball.
We should talk about him. Best hands, he said. One of the best hands in the league or something like that.
I mean, I understand that you want to build yourself up, right? You never want to say, well, yeah, I have bad hands. But you also don't want to say, I have the best hands. Because then people are going to be like, but you had the best hands, man.
He had a rough.
So, yeah.
No catches.
Let me see. Three targets, no catches.
Your number one receiver.
There was a hard hit in one play, which... people say he should have caught that, but he got hit pretty hard. There was no flag. Again, this team is in rebuild mode. Can only get upset too much. But now, you said there was a rumor about Gerard Mayo only lasting 1 year, yeah, right? I don't know what his contract is. Is it 2? Is it 3? But he's still learning. Still learning.
Exactly, and I wouldn't give up on him just yet. It's going to be rough along the way, especially when you're losing. There's some gaps for sure. There's some, you know, lack of talent in certain situations. I think when we did the preseason stuff, like the quarterback room, I thought, even besides May, I thought needed improvement. The running back, I thought needed a lot of improvement. The offensive line, we talked a lot about them already. And then the receivers, as much as I'm hyped about Polk and Baker, who for whatever reason can't see the field, you know, I still gave the receivers a D plus, if I remember right, somewhere along there. So they still need some more better weapons for sure to surround May with. But defensively, they got to hold up too, right? So they got to do their part. Can't give up 32 points.
You can't give up 32 points, especially to the Jaguars, especially 171 yards rushing. It's got to be done via the draft, just like Detroit did. Yeah. I mean, Detroit had some bad team, but they drafted well. You're not going to pay somebody to come to Massachusetts and play for you. Either they don't like the climate, the high taxes, whatever the case might be. So this team is always going to have extra cap because Tom Brady's not there. So there's no incentive for you to go there and win a championship. There's no incentive. Yeah, this team still has a lot of hurdles to achieve. Let's go into week number 8, Ron, and we'll start with the Sunday games, because you made Thursday your upset special, so we'll talk about that. So, Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore, when I wrote this spread, I couldn't believe it. 10.5, 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm going with Baltimore. Listen, I went against them last week against Tampa on the road. I'm not going against them here, even if Jameis Winston's playing this week. And I think that's an upgrade, to be honest, with Watson going down. I'm still going with Baltimore. I'm happy for that Chubb is back. I think Winston and make the offense with Chubb look like competent for the first time. But Baltimore is too powerful for them. They're going to win.
Yeah, I think this is the highest spread this week. Kansas City is at 10.
Detroit.
What's Detroit at?
Have 11.
Oh, sorry. Detroit is a high. But I also went with Baltimore. They have an excellent run defense. I don't know about their passing defense, which, talking about the Browns here, without Nick Chubb, they're like dead in the water. So I think that they're going to stop Chubb.
Well, Chubb is playing. You're saying they're going to stop Chubb?
They're going to stop Chubb. I mean, he might have a decent game, but it's not going to be, you know, being your only offense is not good. So I'm definitely picking Baltimore. So we have the Titans at the Lions. 11 is the spread. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, would you pick?
I'm going with Detroit. Tennessee looked horrible last week, so I'm going with Detroit.
Well, knowing that we threw the Titans out already out for our playoff spot, and I felt like last week Detroit was kind of disrespectful. I know Minnesota was undefeated. I know Minnesota has a good defense, but Detroit's offense finally started to get. Finally, and I thought for a second when they lost Montgomery, I was like, oh, good. I'm very happy he came back. So I got Detroit winners. I got Arizona at Miami. This is Miami's favorite by 3. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your
prediction? This one, I'm a little, I don't know if, I'm assuming Tua's not playing, right? So I'm going with Arizona here.
Yeah.
But Tua, let me just be clear, makes a huge difference to that offense.
I mean, shout out to another podcast, Mike Lombardi, who named Mike McDaniels this job. Because he plays the same, he never adjusted to Snoop. He just said, hey, Snoop, this is the offense that we're going to run. Run it. And Snoop was lost. He's like, what do you want me to do? We owe these weapons. So yes, Tua makes a huge, huge difference, but I went with Arizona as well. Next game, Falcons at the Bucks. ATL is favored by 2.5. If 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I'm going with ATL. I think this will be a close game, though. Even with, especially with, you know, the injuries we talked about with Tampa, I still think they'll find a way to keep the game close. But give me Atlanta.
I was going to go with Tampa Bay, but we talk about all those injuries. Like, I know Tampa Bay has a good running game, but I'm going to go with Atlanta. I know Atlanta just beat Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago, right? In Atlanta. So I think they're going to make a clean sweep. So I got Atlanta winning this one. Chicago Bears at Washington Commanders. Chicago is favored by 3. Over and under 44.5. Ron, what's your
Give me the Bears. and I want to talk a little bit more about them later when we get to our rankings. Just a preview right there, but give me the Bears. And I don't know if Daniel Daniels is, I'm assuming he's playing this week, but I don't care if he plays or not. I take a Chicago.
This one I'm actually changing to Washington. Because like I said before, I'm riding, getting Daniels hype train, and he's delivering. Having a rib injury might hurt him a little bit, but this team, 5-1. I don't know. I have my doubts about Dan Quinn, but not doubting anymore. And Cliff Kingsbury is doing his thing, so I'm going to go with Washington. Green Bay at Jacksonville. Green Bay is favored by 4.5. 50.5 is the own under. Ron wasn't...
Well, with Green Bay, we talked about Jacksonville already. I just think of a team that they got their second win against the Patriots. That's not saying much. I think Green Bay win this one easily, and I'm surprised it's not a bigger spread.
I'm also going with Green Bay. Jacksonville, Green Bay actually has a pretty darn good defense. I know that we talk about Love all the time and we talk about Josh Jacobs all the time, but Green Bay has a pretty good defense. So 50.5 seems kind of high, but who knows? Maybe Trevor Lawrence gets in a row, but next game is the Colts at the Texans. Texans are favored by 6 points. 46.5 is under. Ron, what's your...
Yeah, give me Houston to win this one. I was high on the Colts beginning of the season. I thought they would be in the playoffs. I think I actually had them winning the division, believe it or not. I was wrong. Richardson is not progressed. He's regressed, if anything. Houston should win this one.
Try to warn you, Ron, because he didn't look good in the preseason. Yes, he'll get you 50, 60 yards on the ground, but... the dude overthrows people, underthrows. Once in a while, he have a highlight reel where he hits a 60-yarder, but he's just not a quarterback, an NFL quarterback. Sorry. I wouldn't lump him with Fields yet, because Fields actually still has hope. I don't know if Richardson...
Well, Richardson... has played, I don't know, what, 8 games maybe? 9, 10 games?
What did he play, like 1 year in college? Two?
Yeah, but I'm talking about like NFL games. Fields has had, you said you still have hope for Fields. Fields has had 4 seasons now, so...
Well, he's a backup. I don't know if Richardson is even a backup. Like, what?
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, I'm not buying the Richardson stock. I never bought it. I'm going to sell if I were you. I'd just get rid of it. The next game, Saints at Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 7. The over number is 46.5. Ron, what's your...
Yeah, I got the Chargers.
I got the Chargers too, because we're not sure the Saints are any good. I know the Chargers have a pretty good defense. Their offense is questionable. Even though they have Herbert... he's not 100%, but give me the chart. I got Buffalo at Seattle. Buffalo is favored by 3. Over and under is 47.5. Ron, what's your...
Yeah, I'm going with Buffalo. I know they're traveling on the road against a good team in Seattle, but I like Buffalo.
I'm going with Seattle. I think Geno Smith is playing out of his mind. The defense for Seattle is a little questionable, but I think there's hope. I think there's hope for Seattle. So give me Seattle to win this game.
Metcalf's week to week. Keep that in
mind. Jigba is pretty good. I don't know who their tight end is, but he's pretty good. Walker is catching balls left and right. He caught 2 touchdowns this week, so I'm not too. The next game, Eagles at Bengals. Cincinnati's favored by 2.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I'm staring at this because I wrote this down. Philly beating Cincinnati. This game can go either way. I can see Philly playing a good game and winning. And I can also see Cincinnati just blowing them out. I initially wrote Philly, but I think I trust Burrow and that offense more than I do Philly. Even though Barkley had a good game, they seem to be sticking to the run game. And Cincinnati's defense is terrible. I'm going to change this one to Cincinnati.
Last week, I picked the Giants to beat the Eagles, and it was like two quarters. I think it was 0-0. Punt after punt. I was like, why? You have a top running back on your team. You have two Pro Bowl receivers. What is happening? Kellen Moore, what? I know Jalen Hurts is not Dak, right? But come on, man. What is going on? I just don't trust Philly like other people
do. Yeah.
I just don't. So I went with Cincinnati. I think Burroughs is figuring it out. I think Chase Brown is actually a pretty good running back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The defense is bad for Cincy, but I think the offense should be better. So I'm going with Cincy. The next game is Panthers at Broncos. Denver is favored by 8 points. 43.5 is your under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I don't trust either of these teams. Let me just be clear. But I would go with Denver here. Carolina has looked atrocious. I think the players are like, I saw something with Deontay Johnson. He's like, he just got on the team. He's ready to leave, basically.
I mean, I think they're going to bring back Bryce Young. I think that was a rumor. I mean, I also picked Denver. This is going to be a very low-scoring game. I like the Denver defense. Bo Nix, they haven't let him lose. He does a lot of, like, because I was watching the game the other day, Thursday night game, and I was like, what you throwing the ball? He's using his legs a lot.
He's a rookie.
I guess he doesn't trust himself. Yeah, but I picked Denver to win this one. The next game, which is the third highest spread, KC at LV. KC is favored by 10. The over-under is 41.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Kansas City. And honestly, I might still go over. Like, go with the over on this one.
Listen, I think I said on the text chain that we should start respecting Kansas City, because that's the only reason why they're winning these games.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes is not really blowing the stats. Yes, he has some Mahomes magic plays here and there, but nothing that will blow you away. The receivers are like not great.
Yeah.
The running back, Hunt, I mean, he was out of football for like a year. I don't understand why all of a sudden he's like scoring touchdowns left and right. But yeah, undefeated team, can't go wrong. Kansas City. Ron, let's go into our teams.
Oh, you forgot one.
Which one?
Oh no, that's my upset
special.
Okay.
So let's go to our team. Ron, let's go to the New York Jets at New England. The spread is 7.5 for the Jets. The over and under is 41.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
I'm going to go with the Jets winning this one, 28-17. Listen, I think the Jets defense will bounce back a little bit. New England, we talked about no running game whatsoever. Jets will make it a little bit difficult regardless to run against them. So I got the Jets winning this one pretty easily.
I got the Jets winning this one, and I just changed my scoring because I feel like calling your team soft is either going to backfire or it's either going to motivate. And I'm going with the backfire in your face. I think the Jets blow them out. I think it's going to be 34-17. And we only get to 17 because of May. Because Van Pelt says, hey, you know what? We're not going anywhere. might as well just let him throw 40, 50 times. Like, just let him lose. Who cares? Pittsburgh at the New York Giants. 6.5 is the spread for Pittsburgh. 36.5 is the point spread. Ron, what's your prediction?
Monday night football, another primetime game for the Steelers. I'm going Pittsburgh to win this one easily, 33-13. I think we go over 30 points again. I think Russ has another good game. I think the defense forces like two more turnovers. And we, you know, we blow them out.
I have almost the identical score, but I have no touchdowns for the New York Giants, because if they thought the Philly defense was tough, wait till the Pittsburgh comes into town. So I got Pittsburgh winning 28-3. This might be a goose egg, to be honest.
Nah, it's hard to shut out completely.
Listen, if the Philadelphia Eagles did it, I think Pittsburgh definitely. That defense is stout. They don't have an answer for TJ Watt. It's going to be a 28-3 blowout. And our friend Chris is going to be at this game. He might leave early. Ron, who's your upset special?
So I went with the Minnesota at the Rams game. Minnesota favored by 3.5. Listen, I think Minnesota is a good, really good team. I love what Flores has done with the defense. I love what Darnold has done at the quarterback position. Jefferson, hands down, the best receiver in the league. They traded for a running back, I believe, right?
Aaron Jones Jr.
Oh, so they have Jones. I thought they brought it to one. Aren't they the ones who brought Akers to?
Yeah, but I don't think he's ready.
Yeah. Listen, the team is Minnesota stacked, but the Rams are still a good team, offensively at least. Stafford is a very, very, very good quarterback. Kyren Williams, a good running back. I just have a sneaky suspicions that the Rams going to pull up the upset here. 26-24 is what I have.
Even after they just lost to Detroit, yeah. You don't think they're going to be upset?
They would, but they will. Doesn't mean it is going to be a win.
Yeah, I like Minnesota, and it's, I think that I know Stafford basically got beat by Goff, who got traded by Stafford, and I just don't see that. I think that Stafford has nobody to throw to. I know that Cooper Kupp is going to play, right?
I think back.
And Nakua, I think he's in practice. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think that they have enough talent to get to 26 points. So give me Minnesota. We have my upset special Sunday night. Dallas coming off a bye week against San Francisco, which we just talked about. They lost their number one receiver. I got them winning 28-21. I don't even know if San Francisco gets a 21, but I think Dallas has a lot to prove. Are they a good team? Are they a bad team? First of all, this is not the playoffs, so that it's a point towards Dallas. If this was the playoffs, I would be like, oh yeah, San Francisco bad. But this is a regular game coming off a bye week. Give me Dallas. San Francisco is having a bad year. They need to win more games in the division, in the conference, to like make noise, right? Make themselves be heard. So give me Dallas. Ron, who's in your power rank?
All right, power ranking. So not much has changed, but I got Kansas City at number one, Detroit number two, Baltimore at number three, Minnesota at four, Buffalo at five, Houston at six, Green Bay at seven, Washington at eight, and then making their first appearances, I got Pittsburgh at number nine and Chicago at 10. Chicago, I told you, I warned you a couple weeks ago that they will be in my top 10 pretty soon. I know they're just coming off a bye week. They didn't play last week.
Who has Chicago beat? That was.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's why they're in your top 10, because they just.
I just think they're a good team.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't beaten anybody. Okay. So to me, they're not in the not top 10 worthy.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, I have Kansas City at number one because, not because they're dominant, they're just undefeated. Detroit, Green Bay, Baltimore, Washington, Seattle are number six. I got Pittsburgh at seven, Minnesota at eight, Philly at nine, even though back-to-back weeks I picked against them.
Just dogging them.
I keep dogging them, but they keep winning, so I don't know what it is. They're not impressive, that's what it is. And then I have Houston, but Houston can probably be up in my top 10, but these are the good teams, probably maybe except for Philadelphia. Everybody else is pretty much winning. So, yeah, I just don't trust anybody in the NFC South enough for them to be in my top 10. I just don't. Whether it's Atlanta or Tampa, I just don't trust them. Their defense just seems very shady. Very shady. Which is weird because Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris.
Right, exactly.
So why your defense is so bad? So I don't know. So let's get to our QB list. Now these, let me just set this up. These are QBs drafted, we went all the way back to 2020, that you would want to start your team with. So, Ron, who is on your list?
Guys that have been drafted within the last 4 years,
yep,
that I would start my franchise with. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, you're going to, like, when we get towards the end, there's me. Guys who haven't played yet or may have played aren't starters today. That are on my list because I have faith in them, and I think they're going to have good NFL careers down the road. So at number one, I got Joe Burrow. I think he's honestly I would put him at the second or third best quarterback in the league when healthy, and that's the big question mark. But I think Joe Burrow is just outstanding. I've watched him closely the last like couple games, and he just looks remarkable. So give me him at number one. I got Stroud at number two, I believe. You know, what I saw from last season, that he's worthy of that. Just looked really good. Daniels, I got at number three. And that, you know, listen, I wasn't on the hype train with Daniels, but I've seen enough this year from him to say, yeah, I wouldn't mind having him on my team. I put Hurts at number four. Throughout his career, he was drafted in 2020. I've seen enough to say that he's an MVP caliber quarterback. So I would definitely have him on the team. I got Jordan Love at five. Drafted in 2020 as well. Sat back, you know, for a couple of years, and he's just looked outstanding the last two seasons. Definitely someone I would want to have on my team. Then I went with Williams from Chicago. High on him for sure. I still think he has a chance to get in the Rookie of the Year conversation if the Bears continue to win. I think he'll be there. And this is where it gets interesting. So I got Penix of Atlanta at number seven. I don't think he's going to play for a couple years, but I think just because of the situation with Cousins.
He's going to need a cane when he finally plays?
No. I think it's the same situation, right, with Green Bay and what you saw with Jordan Love. At some point, they're going to see what Penix can do in practice and say, we got to make the switch. So I got him at number seven. I put Herbert at number eight. I got Sam Howell, who's not a starter today. I think he's on Seattle, if I'm not mistaken, as their backup. Saw enough from him last season in Washington. His upside is huge to me. Did he lead the league in touchdowns? He was up there in touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. But he was
up there. He was up there in yards.
But he also was up there in interceptions. But that, you know, he was a rookie, so you kind of expect that. I just think he has a lot of talent. I was disappointed that they moved on from him, but Washington went through a whole completely rebuild, so I'm not surprised. I think Howell, though, is a starting quarterback that needs to get the right coaching, for sure, to kind of reduce the errors. And then I put Brock Purdy at 10. I do think he's a good quarterback. I don't see him, in terms of talent, as being any better than the other guys that I put in front of him. I think it's a little bit overrated, his talent, because he's on San Francisco.
The only problem that I have is with Penix, because we haven't really seen him in action. So I don't know. I would be hesitant to put him on a franchise. Even if you remove Cousins, I'll be like, I want to see him in action before I make proclamation that he's a mess. So my list, I went with CJ Stroud. Obviously, same things mentioned. The dude just has it. Daniels, same thing. I think he's going to get Rookie of the Year. And I think he's might be getting some odds for MVP if Washington keeps winning. So I don't think there's ever been Rookie of the Year and MVP. Same. Williams, because he's showing a lot of flashes, even though it's against bad teams, but winning is winning, I guess. Brock Purdy, I got him at 4. I hate to use the word that he's a system quarterback, but he's in the right system. So he's winning. San Francisco's winning.
Would you take him if it was a different system over some of the other guys that you have behind?
I mean, he got drafted the last player on the draft. So if it were based on just his college career, he got drafted in the right place. But he's performing with the pros, so I don't mind having him on the team. So I put him on number 4. Love, of course, the dude is balling. Yes, he got drafted in 2020, but listen, when you have Aaron Rodgers ahead of you, let him leave. Let him talk. Let him do his ayahuasca. Let him do his, you know, chamber of silence, whatever that can. I like what Love did, and he was always like, yes, sir, no, sir. So I like that. Jalen Hurts. Wow, this was hard because we picked him to win the MVP, but he's not performing as an MVP candidate. So,
but just because he's not performing at the MVP.
No, you still want him as your franchise player, but I don't think he's MVP level. So let's just. I have Drake May because he's showing flashes.
He saw 2 games.
That's enough.
Of Drake May.
That's enough. And I haven't seen any games from Penix. So,
but you have him above Burrows, right below Jalen Hurts, who's been up for the MVP conversation.
I mean, this is my top 10 list.
Okay. That's Burrows, a homer pick.
Because his injuries. You can't really trust Burrows. It's injury. His injury.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So I can't really put him as my top 5 because you don't know if he's going to last next game, next year. So I don't want that. I don't want to be worried about someone's health, no matter how good. So I got him down there. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he got an extension. Don't know why. I think that was a lot of money. I think some other team would have given him even more. I was going back and forth with Trevor Lawrence because I was like, is he good? Do you want a franchise? He has a franchise.
That's why I left him off the list, right? But he's my honorable mention. But yeah.
And then I have Justin Herbert, which he was drafted in 2020. We've seen enough. He's winning game, but he doesn't win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think he has a abysmal playoff record. But you still want... He fits the mold, right? He's a Josh Allen, 6 foot or taller, 240 pounds. He fits the mold. I just want him to perform, so... Yeah. The only surprise in this list is Drake May, and I only put him there because... He's showing flashes. Next week against the Jets, if he plays the same way that he played with Jacksonville, no turnovers, couple of touchdowns, he can stay on my list. I want that.
I think listen, I like Drake, man. I told you, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I still don't even think he's like the top.
Well, you have him. Who's your honorable mention?
Yeah, I have him in the honorable mention, but I don't think he was the top three quarterbacks in this draft period, this last year's draft. Right. So,
I mean, we haven't seen Penix in action. We haven't seen DJ McCarthy. All right, Ron. Ron, who is in your honorable mention?
Yeah. So I put Trevor Lawrence in there. Listen, like you talked about, he signed the contract already. How good is he? I don't know. I think it's yet to be seen. He just hasn't reached the potential, I think, or the expectations that we all we're looking for. So, but I do have him just outside of my top 10. I got Drake May there. I want to see some more. I think he has the tools to be there. JJ McCarthy, I would have loved to see him because I do think he definitely a pro system quarterback. Reminds me a little bit of Purdy, to be honest with you, in terms of his talent.
Probably more athletic.
Yeah, yeah. I got Kenny Pickett in there, then Fields, Mac Jones, Will Levis, Richardson, Nix. I think they're all around, all, you know, in the same boat. You
would want to start franchise or you want them as backup?
I think on some of these guys, I want to see more. Can they be developed? Pickett for sure. He's only had a year and a half, I think. I've seen enough from Fields. I think he is what he is. He's going to have those shortcomings. But Mac Jones, I think there's still hope for him. Will Levis is young, excuse me. But I think I've seen enough for him to think he is nothing but a backup. And then Richardson, I need to see some more from him. And Bo Nix, he's just getting started. So,
I think the only two players on that list that I would just write off would be Richardson and Levis. I think Mac Jones has potential. Same thing with Pickett. Same thing with Fields, but maybe as a backup. I don't see them starting anywhere. Or at least where I would be like, oh, these guys are available because Jones is in his rookie contract, right? So he's going to be a free agent. Fields, I think his rookie contract too, right? So he's going to be a... would you say... Let's say you were the Raiders. Would you want Jones or Pickett or Fields as your starting?
If I'm the Raiders, or if I'm any team getting in the top, like, three, and I know who's coming out, like your Cam Ward, your Shooter Sanders, your... Ewers, kid from Georgia. I'm intrigued by the potential and just the big play ability from guys like Fields and Richardson. If I feel confident that I can get someone to groom those guys, then I would probably sign me up for those two over the four prospects that I just mentioned. But if I don't think I can groom them, then no, I'm going in the draft. The other guys like Pickett, I think you mentioned, no, because skill wise, he doesn't have the arm strength. He has mobility, but not like, you know, back-breaking mobility that Fields and Richardson has.
Yeah. I think either you have to be like a quarterback whisperer and be like, I can make these better. Make these players better, or you just want competition in camp, right? You just like, oh, I think Mac Jones would be good competition in camp.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're already thinking of someone else, but you want one of these guys.
Maybe competition. They'll surprise you.
Yes,
kind of
yes,
thing.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any words for the Steelers fans out?
For the Steelers fan, listen. Huge win last week. I think we can build on it. This is a must win. I'm just calling it a must win because it's usually a game that we take a nap right before the bye week. So I just want them to come out strong. I think Russell Wilson to keep the guys focused offensively. We get to 6-2, which I'm anticipating. going to the bye week, I think, depending on how Wilson looks, I think this team not only has a chance to obviously be in the playoffs, but win a playoff game with Wilson in the helm, right? With Fields, I'm not writing him off completely. I just told you that, yeah, I think he's more of a backup, but maybe someone that you can groom. I still think Fields, if he was in there, would get us to the playoffs. And I think the season, like, it isn't over for Fields. I think you're going to have to count on him at some point down the road. So, you know, what I'm saying, it's buckle up, Steeler fans. There's a lot of things of excitement for the rest of the years. Lots of changes that may happen. Don't boo any of the quarterbacks, please. They're booing Russell Wilson after, you know, the first drive when they only had to settle for 3 points. They booed him after, like, he threw like 4 or 5 passes in a row in incompletions. Please don't do that. Like, have some common sense. The guy hasn't played in a while. He's going to have some rust. It'd be stupid to boo him and expect him not to be a little bit rusty.
No, he was making some good decisions. Yeah. He was hitting Pickens, and even if he wasn't hitting Pickens, that deep ball threat.
Yeah.
You're either going to get a touchdown, a good catch, or a PI call.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Joe Flacco made a living out of getting a deep ball and then getting a call. So, yeah.
But just don't boo. Like, and don't write Fields. No one's writing Fields off, right? We're going to have to rely on him, whether it's his legs or his arm at some point. But, you know, let's just trust. Yeah, I'm the one saying trust Tomlin, that he knows what he's doing. And listen, there's a lot of potential. I think everyone can kind of see that with this team. There's a certain energy. I think we're realizing the defense is really good. But at the same time, you know, let's not just get, you know, too high as Steelers fans. Let's just take it one game by, you know, at a time, and keep rolling.
Yeah, I don't have a specific message to Patriots fans. I have a message for Boston Celtics fans. Today is a tip-off. Listen, the Patriots are going to basically depress you. Whether it's that they're playing, whether it's a schedule, it's not looking. Now the games are going to get even tougher. Tougher for the They could have the chance, Jaguars, to be 2-4. I mean, 2-5. Now we're 1-6. This is depressing. But at least we have the Celtics coming back into our lives.
You've given up completely.
I want Drake May to develop.
You got to support your Patriots, man.
Support them. What do you mean support? Can you be more specific? What am I not
doing? Watch every game.
Okay. I never said that. I never said.
Still have expectations, right? A certain expectation, certain standard.
What the expectation that you have for the Patriots?
Right? Play well, period. At the end of the day, play to your potential.
I've been asking for them to be competitive.
Exactly.
And they haven't. And now...
You don't think they've been competitive?
No, they have not been competitive. Maybe the first 2 weeks, maybe week number one, where they actually won a game. And then they've been getting blown out by the Jets, getting blown out by the Jaguars, getting blown out by out of the teams. It just... It's kind of depressing, but at least if you are a Boston Celtics fan, I am, you have the Celtics to not to overtake the Patriots, just to look back on it like, oh, I remember the championships. I remember how that feels to be winning,
it's
to
terrible.
Be like a top team again. So, yeah, so if you're a Patriots fan, don't worry. Celtics are here. The Bruins are here. Hell, I think I saw a tweet where it was like 49 games coming up this month. The NBA, World Series, the NFL, NHL. What I'm saying is, like, if you're down about the Patriots, there's other outs. There's other options. And that's what I'm taking. I'm just taking other options. That's all. So if you see me smiling, it's not because of the Patriots. definitely not because of it.
Horrible.
You can say that, but listen, your team is winning. I will be happy too. I'll be very satisfied.
Even if my team was losing,
I don't know about that. When was the last time that the Steelers were not a 500?
Well, it's been a long, long time. But I can tell you, listen, I've been a Steeler fan for 30-something years. There are times like way back in the days.
When?
That I was now, like, what the hell?
People, Patriots fans are getting like 80s vibes, 90s vibes, early 90s vibes because they're such a bad team. And I'm just saying, yes, yes, that's all true. They're a bad team. But you have the Celtics to follow. You have the Bruins to follow. Let me stop there because I was going to say the Red Sox, they're a mess. But let me just say this. I know this is a football podcast, but I want the Yankees to be destroyed by the Dodgers because I'm tired of seeing highlight after highlight about Soto, about Judge, about
Stanton.
Listen, I'm glad that they can hit the ball, but I'm just saying the American League wasn't that competitive. I mean, you had the Royals, you had the Tigers making it in the playoffs. Come on. Come on. I'm just saying, please, if there is a God, and I don't pray much, let the Dodgers destroy the Yankees. I'm not talking about a sweep, but 4-1, 4-2, something to that effect. Because we have a lot of Yankee fans in our life, and I want them to just shut up, be quiet.
Oh, how the tables have turned, because I swear it was just last year that Boone was on the hot seat, wasn't it? Talking about like him being fired. Here they are, right in freaking World Series.
Yeah. So, listen, there's plenty of sports. I'm very happy for October. Now we have options. Now we have choices. So, if you're a Patriot fans, don't lose faith because you have options. So, there's options. So, with that say, I say peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.